I'm depending on God to do just that. As we go through this this next song, it's also appropriate this morning, I think, because sometimes you get caught between a rock and a hard place, and there's nowhere to go but God. Where could I go but to the Lord?
In this old sinful world, hardly a comfort can afford. Striving alone to face temptation's soul, where could I go but to the Lord? Where could I go? Where could I go? Seeking a refuge for my soul, needing a friend to save me in the end. Where could I go but to the Lord? Wayne, come up here. Neighbors are kind, I love them, everyone. We get along in sweet accord. Take melody.
Temple from above, where could I go but to the Lord? Where could I go? Oh, where could I go? Seeking a refuge for my soul, needing a friend to help me in the end. Where could I go but to the friends I love so dear, comfort I get from God's own word. Yet when I face the chilling hand of death, where could I go but to the Lord? Where could I go? Oh, where could I go? Seeking a refuge for my soul. Save me in the end. Where could I go but to the Lord? Where could I go but to the Lord?
Thank you, brother. Brother Mike, you have the scripture for us this morning?
Reading from the 9th chapter of Matthew, verses 27 through 34. Jesus went out, and from there two blind men followed him, calling out, "Have mercy on us, son of David." When he had gone indoors, the blind men came to him and asked them, "Do you believe that I am able to do this?" "Yes, Lord," they replied. Then he touched their eyes and said, "According to your faith, will it be done to you?" And their sight was restored. And Jesus warned them sternly, "See that no one knows about this." But they went out and spread the news about him all over that region. While they were going out, a man who was demon-possessed and could not talk was brought to Jesus. And when the demon was driven out, the man had been mute, spoke. The crowd was amazed and said, "Nothing like this has ever been seen in Israel." But the Pharisees said, "It is by the prince of demons that he drives out that he drives out demons."
Amen. Thank you, Brother Mike. Good morning. Isn't it great to be in the house of the Lord? You know, this morning I was thinking as we were singing, I heard more people say hallelujah than I've ever heard. Yeah. Oh, God is good. All the time.
God is good.
Yeah. You know, we just We have so much going on in the world around us that the devil tries to use to pull our focus off of Jesus, off of the works of the kingdom of God. And we just get so busy in our own little world that we don't have time for anybody else. Is that just me, or have y'all noticed that too? I mean, it is amazing how many things that can steal our minds and our hearts and our time away from God's works and God's word and time and prayer. I mean, just daily things, cleaning the house. I have figured out that since I live alone, do my own cooking and cleaning and all that, you know, I spend more time cooking and cleaning in a day than I do anything else, I think. I love to cook, but the bad thing about it is you have to clean up afterwards. But you know what? While I'm cooking, while I'm cleaning, I have this Bible app on my phone. And that's where I listen to the Bible. You know, I just have like 20 more days to be through the first time of the Bible this year. So maybe I'll get 12 times in this year. Who knows? But if you just make it a habit, turn it on. You may not hear every word while you're busy working, but it a little bit sinks in at a time. And really, even when you read, that's all that happens anyway. A little bit sinks in at a time. And so, you know, there are ways for us to get the word in us so that the Lord can get it back out of us when it's needed. You know, God is so full of love for people. Here we have these two blind men, which I can identify to some degree with. And you know, they come out of the crowd and they're crying out, "Lord, save us. Lord." And Jesus hears that cry. You know, there are lots of voices crying out in the world today, "Help me, help me, help me." I hear it weekly, if not daily, people calling, "Help me, help me, help me, pay my bills, buy my food, you know, buy my drugs for me," whatever, you know. There are people that have needs. There are people who don't have needs but want to live off of everyone else. And that's the bad thing, is when people who are drug addicts and alcoholics and shopaholics and whatever else, and they want you to support them in doing that. You know, that's something that is difficult. And it makes it hard to separate out who really has needs and who doesn't, who to help and who not to. But the Holy Spirit leads if we let Him. He will tell us who to help and how to help them. But anytime we help somebody, if we're going to help them pay their bills, if we're going to help them to buy groceries, they're also going to get the word. They're also going to hear the gospel, folks. And if they refuse the gospel, guess what? They just refuse to help too. Sorry, that's just the way it is. You don't want Jesus, you don't need help, because He's the only one who can really help you. And so here, these blind men cry out, "Have mercy on us, Son of David." Well, there's a couple things there. First of all, they are crying for mercy. What is mercy? What is mercy? Somebody give me a definition. Anybody. Don't care. Come on. What? Forgiveness. Okay, forgiveness. What else? Anything else? Anybody want to add to that? Caring. What? Compassion. Thank you. Somebody else said something? Undeserved. Yeah, undeserved favor. All of this compassion, all of this care, all of this forgiveness, all of that is combined into one word, Jesus. And here he is in person. Can you imagine if Jesus walked in here right now? I mean, wouldn't that be awesome? Would we recognize him? These blind men seemed somehow to recognize who Jesus was because they called him Son of David. That is a title for the Messiah, folks. That is a title for the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. It's prophesied for many, many thousands of years before Christ came that he would be in the lineage of David. A thousand years anyway. And so here we have these blind men have better vision or sight than many of the people who can see. They recognize him, not because they could see him, obviously, and yet they could distinguish who he was. Because they recognized he was someone with power and authority to help. And that made them think he must be the coming Messiah. And if I call on him to have mercy and he says yes, I will see again. And that's what they did. Then he touched their eyes. According to your faith, let it be done to you. And their sight was restored. Now, he asked them before that, do you believe I'm able to do this? You know, I think sometimes we often believe that, yes, he's able, but we don't think he will do it for me. I talked about this last week, but it's important, so I'm going to point it out again. We often let the devil rob us by convincing us that we're not worthy of God's blessings. Now, I want to tell you a truth here that you probably never heard before. You're not worthy. Neither am I. None of us are, nor can we be. Only in Christ. It's through the blood of Christ that makes us worthy. And after we have accepted Christ, all of our sins have been cleansed. They're gone. You know, those old pads that we used to get that you write on and then you take the plastic sheet on top, it's all gone. Well, that's the way our sins are with Jesus. When his blood's applied, they're all gone. But the devil wants to recall him. Yeah, but you know you remember when. You know what you did. You're no Christian. If you were a real Christian, you would have never said that. You would have never done that. Folks, when the blood of Jesus was applied, all sin, past, present, and future, it's gone. Now, we can turn our backs and go back into a life of sin. That's different than us slipping up and committing a sin, being ensnared by the devil and committing a sin. You know, for example, somebody cuts you off in traffic when you're in a hurry to go someplace and you say something real nice. I heard a story about that once. This is supposed to be a true story. There was a guy going along and he was in a big hurry because he was running late. He was trying to get to a business meeting. And there was some fool in front of him, his words, swerving and going all over the place and stopping and starting. And you know, I was thinking very seriously, I'm going to pass this fool and I'm going to shake my fist at him. And then all of a sudden, traffic stopped. And he could look in the side view mirror, and it was his preacher. And he said, Thank you, Lord. God has a way of keeping us under control, doesn't he? And we say miracles don't happen. So, you know, we live in a world where there is so much distraction, where there is so much that if we allow our flesh to rule, we will be angry. We will be fearful. Yeah, look at all the possibilities of war happening in the world today. Well, if there's a war and we die, where do we go? Is that so bad? I mean, sometimes I don't think we think these things all the way through. These blind men asked for mercy, and they got it. Now, when Jesus said, according to your faith, let it be done to you. Now, here's the thing. He's not saying, because you have so much faith. Now, we know it's not about the amount of faith that we have. Because Jesus said, if you have faith as a grain of mustard. See, how big's that? Yeah, it's almost microscopic, at least for me. Yeah, so it's not about how big your faith is. It's that you have faith, that you have received. Faith is a what from God? It's a gift from God. If you have accepted that, then you have faith. And Jesus has recognized, because they recognized who he was, they had received the faith, the gift of God, to put their belief in him to be able. Folks, that's all it takes, is for us to truly trust Christ, to be who he and the witnesses around him said he was, and to do what he and the witnesses said he has done, and to believe that he is the same yesterday, today, and forever. So if he's done it in the past, he can and will do it again when it's his will. It's plain and simple. But sometimes the devil tries to complicate that. Again, we talked about those big butts in a sermon before, right? Great big butts get right in the way of everything. And we just have to push those aside and say, with Christ, there is no buts. With Christ, he said, let your yea be yea and your nay be nay. And the only reason why he would say that is because with him, that's what it is. And if we're going to be like him, we have to try to emulate that. We probably won't be perfect at it like he is, but we can try. This is very loving of God. These men, can you imagine? We're not told how old they are, but obviously, you know, they're adults. They're able to. They're called men instead of little boys. So we don't know how long they've been blind. But I do remember seeing a news segment one time. Someone made sure I had a link to watch this, because it was there were brothers who had RP, and they were already in their 60s. Mid to late 60s. And they went through experiment, cure. They put cameras behind their eyes and wired them somehow to their brain. I don't know how they do that stuff. But the one man had been married to his wife for 40 years, I think, and never seen her. And that was the first thing he saw. When he opened his eyes, he saw his wife. And he said, you're even more beautiful than I thought. Folks, can you imagine? These men hadn't seen anything in so long, maybe never. And now their eyes are open. Now they can see. Now they can have a life other than just sitting around begging for alms. Now they can go to work. Now they can be productive. Now they can do something. But the strangest thing is, as exciting as this news is to them, Jesus says, don't tell nobody. You know, here's the thing that just, it gets me. Every time I read this and think about it, here Jesus does this great work for these people and tells them, don't tell nobody. Then he does a great work for us and tells us, tell everybody. These guys told not to, go tell everybody. We're told to do it. We don't tell anybody. Is that reverse psychology or what? Something to think about, isn't it? But the reason why he didn't want anyone to know is revealed a little later on as we get into that. But we know how much opposition there was because of the devil working through the Pharisees and the Sadducees. And they're trying to shut down what Christ is building up. They're trying to tear it down. He's building a kingdom, and they're trying to tear it down. And here, Jesus is showing his love, but he's saying, now's not the time. There will come a time when you should share what I've done, but now is not the time. And what he was, what that means is, after I have been resurrected, that's the time to go and tell everyone. Because what did he tell the disciples to do after he was raised from the dead? What is our great commission? Go and make disciples, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Teach them all that I have taught you. And then we make them into disciples that goes out and makes disciples. And then they make them into disciples that goes and makes disciples. Huh. Funny how that works. I think that's called God's multiplication table. And we need to be a part of it. We need to get involved. But after this great work, you know, then he meets up a demon-possessed person who could not talk. And when the demon was driven out, the man who had been mute spoke. The crowd was amazed and said, nothing like this has ever been seen in Israel. They had people who were exorcists, okay? We know that because of the book of Acts and other places. There were people who performed exorcisms, but they were more like the witch doctors in some of the countries where Herman goes and tells us about. And what they would do is they really never exorcised the demon, but they exchanged one demon for another demon. This person says, oh, I got so much wrong, and I can't get up, I can't do this, can't do that, and I want to be able, oh, okay, we can do that. So, you know, they do these hokey pokey stuff, and they get one demon to leave and encourage another to come in and take its place. And in the end, you're worse off than you were to start with. But Jesus came along and just commanded this demon, go. Boom! It left. The man was completely set free. No more bondage. It's gone. And the man spoke. Now, nowhere in the Bible are we told that all of these sicknesses, every sickness, every disease, everything is called by the devil. No, we're not told that all of these things are, if a person is in a hospital dying, they have a demon. No, we're not told that. But there are cases where that's true. The Holy Spirit knows the difference. And we have to be in tune with the Holy Spirit to be able to discern What is what? And just common sense tells you that you try medicine first. And then if that doesn't work, maybe there's more to it. Maybe there's more to it. But the Holy Spirit should always be our guide. Even after this, the amazing things, two blind men were made to see, a mute man was made to speak. And by the way, that word that is used that says that they couldn't speak, it could also be that they can't hear. But we're not told. It's only about, seems to be about the speech here, because we're told he talked afterwards. But either way, it's a great thing. He's healed. But then here comes the Pharisees, and they said, it is by the prince of demons that he drives out demons. In other words, they're saying, it's by Beelzebub. It's by Beelzebub that he is driving out Beelzebub. Makes a lot of sense, doesn't it? Jesus couldn't do anything right. Does that sound familiar? No matter, you know, he's going around, he's healing people, he's making their economy better because there's more workers and more jobs available. He is taking away sickness. He is providing for people's needs. And no matter what he does, there's always the devil saying something bad about it. Oh, no, you're not. You're being used by the devil to do these things, to trick everybody into following you. It's funny how all of these people that were set free were truly set free. They had no more bondage. That is a pure sign that it's of God. When the bondage is gone. You know, the devil has so many people in bondage to drugs, so many people in bondage to alcohol. And do you know that every one of them can be set free through the work and the blood of Jesus Christ? Every single one. It's guaranteed 100% that recovery can take place every time. Guaranteed. Why? How can you say that? Well, we're told in the Bible, behold, all old things are passed away. Everything has become new. You're no longer an addict. You used to be. Now, if you are an addict, you're addicted to Jesus. And that's acceptable. You're no longer an alcoholic. You were. That's my problem with a lot of these programs is they convince people, you're an addict for the rest of your life. You're an alcoholic for the rest of your life. Well, does that mean I'm going to be an overeater and fat the rest of my life? Don't I have some say in that? Doesn't the Lord have some say in that? I mean, come on, folks. We're not talking about something that's real difficult to understand. When a person is taught to say, I'm an addict, I will always be an addict, that always gives them an excuse to turn back to that sin. Oh, I can't help it. It's not me, it's the disease. And I got news for you. Addiction's not a disease. Alcoholism is not a disease. It is a sin. Plain and simple. You can call it anything else you want to call it, but it's a lie from the pit of hell. It is sin, and only Christ can cure sin. And that's the reason why I can say 100% recovery in Christ. If we don't believe that, then that means all of us are trapped in our sin. How many people in here, before you became a Christian, had a real foul mouth on you? Okay, so can we never get rid of that? Are we habitually going to be foul mouth representatives of Christ who saved us? Does that make sense to you? I mean, why would Christ save somebody from an addiction so that they can continue to be an addict? Does that sound like they're delivered from it? It doesn't to me. These people were no longer blind. The man who was mute was no longer mute. The other people he healed were no longer the things they were before. Because Christ changes us from the inside out. If you say you're a Christian and your behavior has not changed, you better get right with God, because you're not. Plain and simple, folks. There's lots of people walking around today, call themselves Christians, that live like the devil, and they give God and His church a bad name. How many people besides me grew up with your parents telling you, you know, you don't do certain things because it gives family a bad name? Anybody besides me hear that from your parents? Yeah. Why was that important? Because there should be pride in your family heritage. That's not to say that there's no wrong will ever take place, but you should be careful how you represent. You know what the Bible says about that? Honor thy father and mother. Right? Isn't that the same thing? And guess what, folks? We call ourselves a church what? Oh, there's that word again. Family. So if we're truly the family of God, we shouldn't go out doing things that drags down the Lord's name. You know, there is so much of this teaching that's been lost in our society today. It's just gone. You don't hear it anymore. And it seems like anywhere but inside these walls, and I get out and say some of these things, and I get chastised for it. And I don't know, maybe some of you will chastise me on your way out. I don't care. I can take it. I got big shoulders. I speak what God tells me to speak. If you don't like it, take it up with Him. But that's the way it is, folks. If we don't tell people the hard truth, how are they going to know that they're doing anything wrong? Do you know our society is teaching our young people to do things? They're approving our young people to do things that God's Word says is a sin. They're teaching them that what God says is wrong and what man says is okay. You do what we say and you'll be all right. No wonder they're not in church. No wonder they don't want to come and hear that what I'm doing is sinful behavior. My teacher, my school, my principal, my counselor, even my parents told me it's okay. But you say it's sin, it's wrong, it's bad. No, God says it. I'm just His representative. And guess what? So are you. We all have jobs to do for God. So let's be busy about our Father's work. If you have a need this morning, just mind the Lord and come as we sing. Brother Bob, so.